That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again.
And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We are coming to you live this October 23rd, Saturday morning. And we thank you for joining us. And Paul, thank you for joining us this morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
And we'll see who else comes on this morning. We'll just have to wait and see. But it is, the time is changing. That's for sure. Just a few weeks ago, walking out here, it was nice and sunny already. And I'm just starting to get a orange in the clouds to the east. And so we're sure seeing the times change with the seasons. And but thankfully, that's scheduled. We know that because our God does that as he has put the seasons in place. And we know that fall follows summer, and that's where we're at. And that should be reassuring with everything going on in the world today, that as a reminder that our God is in control. And that's a comforting thought. But we're going to open up in prayer, and then we'll open the phone lines and go from there. Paul, would you open us up this morning?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time on the air. We thank you for the blessings in it, and we pray that it will be productive to you and that we will benefit someone, Lord, and that our time is not wasted, and that your name will be proclaimed in all things. And the seasons tell us that there is a God in heaven, because nature teaches us if we will just watch. And we thank you for that, and thank you for the consistency in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, Remnant, the phone lines are open. It is a live program this morning, 307-745-5913. And I'd like to just read the first couple verses of Psalms 1. I read that this morning, and it was reassuring to me that, well, it's assurance. Just the first three verses here. It says, Psalms 1, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And in whatever he does, he prospers. And I think I sure like that promise. I do. And I think it's good for us to read that and be reminded of that occasionally, that if we want to be like that tree firmly planted by streams of water, that yields its fruit in its season, whose leaf doesn't wither and prospers in whatever we do, well, we don't have to go to Harvard. Doesn't mean we have to have an MBA or a six-year degree or do this or that. But we look to his word. We don't walk in the counsel of the wicked. And we don't stand in the way of sinners. We don't group up with them and sit in the seat of scoffers. I can't help but think, but of all the secular talk show hosts that are always scoffing, are always complaining, never offering a way out, but just always complaining about how things are, and that's not how we're to be. That isn't. We have his word, and that is what we are to delight in, it says. And anyway, just my thoughts this morning on Psalms 1 that was a bit of encouragement to me this morning. I have the phone.
Yes, and it says, but delight in the law of the Lord, and all of the people around us have said the law is done away with, and it's delight in the law, converting the soul is what it says. So,
yes.
That's our foundation. That is God's will, desire, and he don't hold us to a perfectness, but that is his will.
Right. It's neat how that is, that law is perfect. And it is his desire for us. But I like how you put it. He doesn't hold us accountable to it because he knows we can't keep it. But still, you strive for it. There was a Vince Lombardi football quote, football coach quote from years ago, something along that line, was to seek perfection, to work towards that goal. No, you're not going to achieve it, but that's the goal. That's what you work towards. If you don't have a goal, if you don't work towards something, you're not going to be, as Psalms 1, these couple verses describe, and be prosperous. And you're not. It's just as simple as that. You may think you are. And we see many people that appear to be prosperous. We've seen that in our society. And maybe they've done well in business. And they drive the Mercedes or the big fancy trucks or whatever it is. Not saying that all that do that are, but we see that many that might appear to be prosperous, but you look at what cost divorce and no family life there's quite a bit more than just that money.
The deceitfulness of riches.
Yes.
The Bible says. There's nothing wrong with alpha. My only obligation is to tithe. And when I do that and put that in first, and then there's other things we can give to too. But no matter how much you got, you need to tithe. And God will bless you when you do that. And Malachi talks about we steal from him. Because everything we do, we do that. But see, my point is there are wealthy people that do things in a bigger way because they have a different mentality. But that don't mean they're like or bad people. There's a lot of evil people, a lot of greedy. But how much a man has does not matter who he is.
Yes. Amen to that. Amen to that. Well, Remnant, phone lines are open. I see a line ringing there. And we'll go to it this morning. And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, brothers.
Well, good morning, Patrick.
Patrick from Minnesota.
Well, good morning. How are you today?
Good.
Awesome.
Well, nice crisp morning we have.
Awesome. Awesome. God is good, isn't he? You know, we wasn't that long ago, it was scorching, 100 degrees and hot and heat, and he's cooled it off for most of the nation, and it sure is an enjoyable time. Sweatshirt weather, I call it.
Yeah, that's right. You can always dress for the cold weather, but you really can't when it's 110 degrees out.
Yeah, yeah, and it's not socially acceptable to undress for that weather, that's for sure.
Yeah.
That is.
Well, depends on which side of the aisle you are.
That's true. Well, Patrick, I appreciate you calling in, and I know you had shared a praise report this week, and I was hoping you could share it with the remnant.
Well, we got the letters, from Scripture for America, our exemption letters, and my wife, they've really been pushing, she's a nurse, so they've really been pushing for them to get the vaccine, but there's been a pretty good resistance to that here in Minnesota. You won't hear it on the news or anything like that. Many nurses have just said, we're not going to take the vaccine. We're just, that's it, we're quitting, they probably shouldn't quit. They should just be fired, let themselves get fired, but they are quitting. So we have lost a number of nurses in the state. So my wife's employer, they're really pushing for the vaccine, and so she requested an exemption from the vaccination, and she sent them a letter stating that her strong religious beliefs, and they did accept it. Here in the state of Minnesota, you can be exempt from vaccination, in our schools, in our businesses, according to, the man's law. She was granted that. And there's been quite a few nurses that have been granted exceptions too. I mentioned to one of the brothers on the ministry, we've been waiting for a revival in this country. And, the Bible speaks of, if you deny me before man, I will deny you before God. And so there's a lot of people, I think, who are rethinking their faith, and they're getting closer to God, and they're using the religious exemption. This really, really could set off the revival we need.
Amen.
Which I believe could possibly happen.
Amen. Amen. And, this is called I look at it as a victory, at least for
yes.
now. I was speaking with a member of the congregation the other day, and that, the Bible tells us that as much as it's up to us, we're to be at peace with all men. These enemies that we have that are in positions of authority and leadership and whatnot, that we are to be at peace as much as possible. And I really see this exemption form as part of that, as a way almost of a statement of faith, that many have been rethinking and saying, hey, wait a minute, I don't want to do this. And coming up with this is the reason why.
Sure.
And that is good. I think that is. And it's a way that it's a step, I think, that we take. I think that, back in about 1776, leading up to that, I think for about 20 years that the people in this land were doing all they could to remain at peace with all men. And it finally got to a point that they couldn't. But they had tried and tried and tried all they could. All that they were, and I think that's really where we are now. The people, like how you put it, that rethinking, that we're, the people are trying now, and we'll see. But it is encouraging. It was encouraging to me, Patrick, when you sent me that, you know, because I, in talking with many people on the ministry, and we have sent many of those out. And have gotten praise reports that, hey, thanks, it worked, and the boss said okay or whatever, and they're victories, they really are. You know, at least now, you know, we still have to work, and while that's available, we still have to do that. Now, that the time may come that might change, but for now, if this helps with that. And is somewhat of a proclamation of faith as well, then, you know, who knows the doors it might open up even with bosses and with people that say, wow, they took a stand at that. It's an opportunity to say, wait a minute, I'm a Christian and this is wrong and this is why, and I'm not going to do it. So it is. It's an opportunity to take a stand, you know, we'll see.
Well, like Pastor Peter said, you know, you just put your tongue on the roof of your mouth and you just say no. And that may be all that takes to, you know, for this government or your employer to say, okay, you know,
right.
There's many people on the other side who don't like confrontation and they'll do anything, you know, whatever it takes to avoid it. And if it's simply somebody saying, no, I'm not going to do this, this violates my faith, my moral code, if you will, you know, no, I'm not going to do this. This is not right. And then you can also throw in, well, this, you know, the Civil Rights Act, the Nuremberg Code, the, you know, First Amendment, you know, and so on. We're not going to do this. And they will back down.
It's interesting how in our society, we have laws. We have always been a lawful society. It has always been based on the law of God. We were reading Psalms 1 that you know, we are to delight and meditate day and night in His law. And this nation, this people talk about the American experiment. The reason it worked. One of the reasons is that it was a lawful society, and that law was based on the Bible.
Yes.
And what we're seeing today, you know, we had the quote from, who was it? I don't know, Patrick Henry or Franklin or one of the founding fathers that, you know, that we've been given a constitution, a set of laws, a set of documents, but that they would only work for a moral and religious people, meaning a moral and Christian people. And
that's right.
What do we have today? We have immorality, and we don't have Christianity. And so is it any wonder that, you know, we have the lawlessness in the land? And those things you quoted, you know, the Nuremberg, the rules that came out of that, and the First and Second Amendment, and we have rules, we have laws that protect the rights, whether it's speech or assembly or the right to bear arms and the right to worship and these things. But we're in a time of lawlessness to where those things don't matter. Those things don't matter to the enemy anyway. They don't. And they do their very best to just like these mandates. You know, there's been no written, signed law. And we understand the difference in, you know, that man doesn't make law. Paul, you pointed that out many times, that the only law comes from God. And the government's job is just to enforce that. But there's no law signed by the federal government that requires vaccinations, that requires mask mandates, that requires these things that these companies all across the country have put in place. You know, the what was it put out as? A mandate. Making a mandate for... What's a mandate? That's just a declaration. The scripture verse, I'd shared this has come up a couple times, you know, the scripture verse, it talks about they hold to a form of godliness, but they deny the power. They don't have the power behind it. And that's how I think about these mandates. They're just these declarations, you know, I mean, Nebuchadnezzar made it, right? His people.
That's
made
right.
It. You shall, when you hear the psalm and the halter and the music, you shall bow down and worship the image. That was a mandate. That's what that was. And most of them, okay. And some didn't. And so it's not, they try to put it forth as a law, but it's not. But it's not. It has no backing. It has no, it's contrary to the Constitution. Therefore, it's basically contrary to God's law. And so when something is presented like that, it is not. We even have a law written that states that says, you know, anything presented as a law or a bill or whatever that's contrary to the Constitution is illegal. It can't become a law. So we even have a law against these mandates that they put forth in our society. And like you had mentioned earlier, it certainly, according to man's law, it is. But that is based on, you go back to it, you know, our lawful society that we at one time had is based on God's law. But when the people have turned from God, then they can't go back and hold to that law and try to claim that. And that's what we're living. That's what we're living. That Constitution is for a moral and Christian people.
That's right. And, you know, one of the things, you know, these mandates, the governors or president, you know, we have a representative type government. And if they really wanted to turn his mandate in law, they would present it to the legislature or the Congress. But here's the thing. This is where they'll face resistance and they'll have the public input. And see, they don't really want to face the public because they know that their mandates are wrong. And if they do present it, to the Congress or legislature, it'll be debated and evidence will be brought in to, you know, such as, like a court of law. You know, you have your discovery, you have your evidence.
Yes.
Well, this is what all these other professional scientists are saying, and they said don't get the vaccine because of this, and this. They don't want to hear that.
Exactly.
That will come into a legal public forum. And so then now, instead of doing that, they can just do these blanket mandates and keep the argument,
Absolutely.
Avoid the argument.
Paul, we didn't put you to sleep, did we?
No, you just woke me up. What did you say? No, I'm kidding. I was listening the whole thing. This goes back to Samuel when they wanted a king, you know, and God told Samuel, Samuel was beside himself, and God told Samuel, your rebellion is not against you, it's against me. See, what God wants is Christian self-government. I am responsible for my actions. You know, like a limited liability corporation is nothing a Christian should be involved in. That's to protect yourself from the vultures. But the jurisdiction comes from the state, and all our people are totally tied up in it, and they don't understand about Christian self. Righteous, you know, keeping yourself in God's law. When you violate a law, or you offend someone, or you make it right, you don't need a government to tell you that. And our people are so far away from that. They go to these 501c3 churches, and, you know, they put, it's a perversion of Romans 13. This country was founded as a republic. Well, a republic is that the king is held to the same law as the peon. And that's God's way.
Yes.
The Constitution is basically, if you're going to use that for defense, you might as well flush it down the toilet, because that was written to bind governments, what it was. Because yes, the moral people, they just need, you know, George Washington, government is like fire. It can be a faithful servant or a filthful master. If it's in the fireplace heating you, that's one thing. If it's in the rafters, you're in trouble. And right now it's in the rafters. You better get out. But
that's right.
To go back to that, you know, that it goes right back to Samuel, you know, when they wanted a king, and this is what, we got a king, all right. And what did he say? You'll control your children. They're in the military. They're cooking for them. They're all looking for the benefits of the state. Well, the state's going away. You know, Revelation 18 says, cut yourself off from Babylon, because it suddens and swift destruction. And I think you're watching it personally.
Absolutely.
But like I said, people are going to precipitate to one side or the other. You know what I mean? In religious, the word religion means to be, to realign is what it amounts to. And the, a religious people isn't necessarily a Christian people. And that's the fallacy of it is, you know, but we are going to get refined, and we are going to go to the left or the right. And there are people out there with faith that you don't have to understand everything I just told you, but it's in their heart. The law of God is written in their heart, you know, and we can precipitate to God or precipitate to this monstrous system that tells you, they're just sticking out money left and right. The inflation is so rampant, it's pathetic, and it cannot blow a balloon so big before it pops. And I don't know where it's going to come down to, but what's going on ain't going to last forever.
Amen to that. Amen to that. Yeah, and you, I like how you put it, Paul, that we're witnessing the Babylon falling. The foundation of Babylon being destroyed, and the balance and the smoke and mirrors going away. There was a person sent me. There were like 750 GE workers, I think it was, that walked out over this vaccine mandate, and said no. And that was right up. I was up there in your neck of the woods somewhere, Patrick. It was Illinois or Minnesota or Michigan, somewhere up in there. Again, just because CNN doesn't cover it, just because you don't see it on the headlines of even Fox News or MSNBC, doesn't mean it's not happening. And these things are happening. Public school attendance numbers are down drastically all over the nation. And
right.
And Paul, I think you've mentioned it before, you know, hit them that hits them in their pocketbook, and it does. We are seeing that. Ran into a person here in town the other day, and she said, yeah, they're so happy since they pulled their two children out of public school. And I had not heard about it yet. I had talked with like her brother-in-law a while back, but they just did it, you know, didn't make a bunch of fanfare about it, and said the children are doing good, doing some online stuff and this curriculum and that, it is that rethinking. I like how you put that, Patrick, and that's what's happening, a rethinking. And hopefully it is, as you said, Paul, a realigning of their thoughts, of their morals, of what's important to them. And that's what's needed, because we are. And I use that that verse, Paul, honor. I explained that to her. I said, you know, because she's a Christian, this mom that I was talking to, that her and her husband have pulled their children out of school. And I said, you remember in the Bible where it says, come out of her, my people? She said, yes. And I said, you're doing that by pulling your children out of this public indoctrination, public fool system. And you could see a light go on in you know, in her countenance. It was like, oh. And that's exciting. That's exciting. It really is. That, you know, it's this little, it is. It's a rethinking. Hey, wait a minute. You know, hey, wait a minute.
Well, it's the, you know, what we're witnessing is the separating of the goats from the sheep. We're seeing that right before our very eyes, you know. So there's the people are waking up, and they no, we're not going that way. We're gonna go to, you know, they're being called by God to do the right thing. You know, something doesn't smell right here. So we're just gonna go the other direction.
Amen.
And some may not know what exactly is wrong. They just sense something's wrong, and we're not gonna go that way. And I think it's the inner working of the Holy Spirit telling, you know, God, come out of her, my people. So.
Amen. Amen. We're seeing that. We are. Paul?
If you can't smell it now, it's a stench, because I seen it 40 years ago. It was wrong. You know, the church I was raised in, it was, you know, I realized they didn't really care about the Word of God. They just want a social club. Well, I'm going to have a social club. I want a golf course and a pool. I don't care for either one of those either, but I wasn't staying there. But I'm just telling you, it's a stench now. It's beyond smell.
Yeah.
You know, years ago, I'll never forget this, in James, I read the perfect law of liberty. It just befuddled me how the law could be liberty. But now I understand it totally. When you bring her back, like the lady, she comes back, the light comes on. She's being liberated from what's going on. I mean, you know, we're all at different points and stuff like that. But she's being liberated because, you know, she lived in Babylon. She thought it was the only way. And, that, you know, the life, there is another way. You know, I homeschooled my girls, and my youngest one fought me. And she went to high school for 4 years, and the oldest one went 1 year. And the day they left my house changed. It was just something was different. And I'm glad I let them go, because, you know, the oldest one, she, I said, Dana, did you miss anything? She said, no, Dad, these people ain't got nothing, you know. And the youngest one, she fought me, and, well, the other days, well, she's homeschooling now. And Dr. Strickland that I got back then, Rod and staff, I loved it. Yes. Anyway, she says, man, I hate that when I was young, but I sure like it now. So, you know, sometimes you got to wait it out. And if they make bad choices, you got to accept that. Your children, the enemy's in your own house. You don't know who it is. One might go to the right and to the left. They make choices.
That's just what
you know,
they
you
do.
You watch Israel. In one generation, they left God. You know?
Yeah.
To the minds of their own, you know, desires. You know, they think they're smarter than God.
And then at times it was one generation that turned back. You know, when Daniel read, yeah, hey, wait, these 70 years are over. That generation or two or three, whatever it was, those couple generations are over. And now, you know, we this is for us. And it is. And
I think you could see the beginning of that right now happening for those that have eyes to see. It's
yes.
Going on as we speak.
Yes, it is, and it's encouraging.
Those days are over.
It is encouraging. It is.
Yes, there's no. Everybody's. When can we go back to normal? When can we go back to normal? I don't want to go back to normal. I want to go. I want to. You know. I want to seek God's kingdom first, and that's that's the only solution that we have here. We can't go back to man's way. Sure, certainly, there was better days in America where the American society was closer to God than they are now, but I think we're moving. We have no choice. We have to go forward. The only solution is Jesus Christ.
And that's right.
And
with the times that we're in, what better time, what better opportunities to share that with people? Patrick, what you're saying, we're seeing it all over the country. We're hearing about it from all over the country. You know, people are, they want to get back to normal for Christmas season. You know, Joe O'Biden come out and, you know, well, maybe we can have a normal Christmas or whatnot. And we don't really do Christmas, but that struck a nerve with people, because there's a lot of people that do. And that struck a nerve with people. You know, the football stadiums are packed, at least the college football. I don't think NFL is, but I think the college football stadiums have been packed. And very few masks. because, again, that's what the masses are wanting. They're going back to these things. I think a lot of people sense that things aren't going to be back to normal. And so what a time to share just what you did, Patrick, that, hey, listen, normal, you want to go back to, this ungodly system that we've had. That's not what we need to be seeking. And that's not what's coming. It's not. This Babylon, they're pushing it, and I think that's one of the reasons the ungodly are pushing it so fast and hard, is they know their time is short. I think they sense this repentance and revival more so, in this rethinking more so than we do. I think they sense it, and they know that it's coming, and when it does, their time is over.
Yes.
Well, you can't blame them for trying. I mean, that is their God. So, I mean, you can't blame them for trying. The harder they push, the better, faster we're going to move to a right. So, I mean, you got to understand that they got a mission too, and it's just, it's not a good one.
Right. Right. And God uses that. I went to a funeral yesterday. We'd had a neighbor pass away. I think I'd shared that with everybody. We had they had a house fire. First fatality house fire in this community that anyone can remember. And, was a rancher and a family man, big 4-H, all that. There were probably 350 people there. And the young man that did the service, he preached Christ. He preached the resurrection. He preached, I thought he did a good job for maybe not being from our ministry, but I got to talk to him afterwards a little bit, and I told him, I said, I appreciate you preaching Christ here, that maybe people will, think just like this family did when they went to sleep that night. They didn't know that their life was going to change at 12:45. But it did. And I said, I think the time is right that some of these people, that if they're not right with God, that they'll rethink that. And, he kind of chuckled and said, yeah, he said, the majority of them, I just don't know. And he said, but I hope that a couple of them will do that at least. And I thought, boy, there's that remnant, that he's thinking about the remnant. He sees that the masses are just going to continue on and be part of what Psalms 91 talks about, 1,000 falling here and 10,000 there, but it not coming to you. And, but I reminded him, I said, you hopefully planted the seeds, that'll grow. And people.
That's right. You know, all it takes, it may take just a simple couple-minute conversation with a co-worker or a friend or something, and it gets them to thinking about God. They themselves maybe have faith, but they've never shared it with anybody else, and it just, you know, you kind of pull them out of their shell, so to speak, and, you know, maybe start, you know, maybe share a scripture or two, you know, a Bible story or two, and it gets them thinking, you know, you know, there's that, you know, the Bible speaks, I will not be ashamed of the gospel. You know, some people just won't, they just won't share it. You know, maybe they feel that, you know, embarrassing. Well, you start talking about Jesus and God and the Bible and stuff, and, you know, they may also start doing that too amongst their friends. And then if they want to, you know, I've had, you know, coworkers come up and, you know, they know I'm a Christian, not the, you know, the best Christian in the world, but they'll come up and you know, we'll speak of God and the Bible and all what's going on. And, you know, that's, you know, it's that planting that seed that maybe all that it takes.
Amen. That is all that it takes, Patrick. I really think it is. I think that's what our calling is to plant seeds. You know, one of us plants a seed, and then it may be minutes, days, weeks, months, years, sometimes later, somebody else waters, somebody else nourishes. You know, that's how the gospel spreads. It does. And it's like Jesus talked about in the parable of the sower. You know, some bears a lot of fruit and some bears a little. Well, guys, yeah, the phone line's ringing. Nope, guess not. Probably the wrong number. It was ringing for a little bit, but that's all right. But I think that's how it is. You know, that seed is the word, and it goes out, and when it finds good ground, it produces fruit. You know, some a lot, some a little. We'll try this line here. Let's try it. Good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Yeah, I just was listening to you guys this morning and wondering if you guys had heard anything on that mandate down in the Southwest. And I've got friends that contract to the federal government and do things like shoe horses and predator control, and they're demanding they get the vaccines and do that conversation through one of the radical, we run a lot of cattle in the forest here. They have said that if you're a permittee, of course, you don't have your cattle on the forest, that they're going to put that vaccine mandate on you. And I just wondered if you guys had heard anything about that up there.
Well, I did not specifically, as far as the on the for people running cattle on BLM and in places like that, but I have heard about it for government contractors, and that's what Babylon does. They, you know, they're going to hell, and they want everybody to go with them, so to speak. And and you know,
I was just curious. You know, they're really sticking that on everybody here. If you so much as nail a shoe on a horse or pack a mule or trap or anything like that for the government, they're demanding. And now we have pretty radical ranger here. They're saying permit tea holders fall under that mandate. And I was just curious if you guys had heard it.
Yep. Well, and then that's what it is, that mandate. That's just that's that declaration from Nebuchadnezzar, you know, is really all that is. And but it as we talked about earlier, it's given people that opportunity. We are seeing a lot of rethinking and really as the word puts it, who are you gonna serve? Who are you going to start?
Oh, absolutely. I'm in agreement with you totally, and have done my best to get people religious exemptions. But curious they would reach that far. You know, when you buy that cattle permit, you bought it like a piece of real estate. You own the water and the grass. And they're going to try to mandate people for owning it.
Yeah. Amen. Where are you calling from, brother?
Oh, the Southwest.
Okay.
I did not say.
Close enough.
But that's what's going on. You know, we're on the forest a lot here. Big part of these lot runs. And they just got a drive going on that's, you know, and I just wondered if it was going on in Colorado.
Yeah. Haven't heard it specifically, but I'll put some feelers out and ask around.
Well, thank you very much, and bless you guys. Thank you for what you do.
All right. Thank you, brother. God bless.
God bless. Well, brothers, I'm going to let you go.
All right, Patrick. Thanks for
great
calling.
Great being on the show today, and it was good talking with you, and I hope all the remnant out there, you be safe, and rejoice. Try not to get overwhelmed with what's going on in this world, because this world is going to hell in a handbasket. Just, you know, on the right side of God. Put it in your Bibles, read your word.
Amen.
Stay strong. Strong and courageous.
Amen.
Well, amen, brothers. I'll talk to you later.
All right, Patrick. God bless. Thank you, sir.
Well, you know, I was reading here in Jeremiah 50, verse 17. Israel is a scattered sheep. The lions have driven him away. First, the king of Assyria hath devoured him, and last, the Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, hath broken him. See, Israel is a scattered people. See, God turned us over to Assyria, and there's other places. Assyria was, he did it for our judgment because of our sin. And Assyria, one of his complaints was against them. They were not compassionate on him. He wanted to beat them up a little, but not be to the end that they're doing like today. And we are that people. We're scattered. Another one of the most encouraging verses for me is Ezekiel 39, verse 22. So the house of Israel shall know that I am the Lord their God from that day forward. Now, that's never happened. That's yet to come, because most of the people we're talking to do not know who they are.
Right.
And that's the trouble with us. We're, God loves everybody. God don't love everybody. He told Pharaoh, let my people go. So apparently Pharaoh wasn't one of his people. And there's others that.
That's right.
Jesus was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now, that don't mean there isn't a place for other people. I mean, there's other places that are encouraging to the stranger that will live God's way. It ain't that, but we were put on, see, Adam was put on this earth. There was people here before Adam, and he was put here to rule the world, and he got taken down by Satan and them, too. And because Jesus was called the second Adam, he said, well, if you can't do it, I'll do it myself, is kind of what it amounts to. And he was the second Adam, but we are that people, and we are, Isaiah 1, they're scattered. We don't know who they are, and this is the problem we have. Israel don't know who they are, and that's who we are. You know, I'm talking, Marlon texted me the other day, he's meeting with five or six guys, and he was telling me how receptive they were to the Anglo's message. You know, he was there very encouraged, but the time is right to teach this thing. We know who we are, you know, and we can't go back to the Constitution, because it ain't even toilet paper if you're not a godly person. It's beyond that. That was written based on people of faith. If you read the Light and the Glory, and that's all explained, the faith that they had, and they fought that war at insurmountable odds. It was only like 3% of the people. The rest were indifferent or opposed to them. They still loved England, and this is the same shoes we're in today.
Absolutely.
Yeah, most people want to go back. They want to go back to normal. You know, that last in 2008 when things hit the fan again, you know, people just wanted to go back and be comfortable. You look at the, you know, we talk about the football stadium. My wife, she listens to this radio, and they say, yeah, the football stadiums are packed. No masks, no nothing. They're just saying, yeah, I said they turned to the wrong God again, you know.
Right.
That football, there's nothing wrong with football. If you like it, that's fine with me, but it's just the how much you like it.
Right.
So.
Right. It's not
the end of the matter.
It has its place. It does. And along those lines, we have I talked about it Thursday night, the map. I've had several people talk about bringing it up the last few weeks, but we have this we've reprinted this map. It's called The Reformation of Israel in the West, The Westward Trek. And it's paper. It's a little, it's like placemat size, about 11 by 17, but it puts it into a visual that you literally can visualize. You can see where Israel came from and through the Caucasus Mountains. And then the names that they took over, you know, hundreds of years as they settled into Europe and drove out the hordes there. And the names that they were known by, they weren't always known by Jacob or Israel, but the sons of Isaac, the Isaac sons, the Saxons, and the Angles, and the Jutes, and the Kimbri, and the Goths, and the Visigoths, and all those throughout history, and it's got a great explanation on the back. It was originally put out, oh man, years ago by the Pathfinder way up in Washington, and when Pastor was still alive, we spoke with him under his direction and got permission to reprint it and to do that very thing, and we still do and still send them out because it's a great visualization. It's truth. The Bible says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." And yeah, you don't have to be a Bible scholar. You don't have to have gone 6 years to seminary. You're better off if you haven't to know the truth, because they don't teach the truth. But
I've got a saying. I tell people, if you want to know God, you take your Bible and go to the woods. If you want to know people, join a church.
There you go.
That's politics at its best. But you go, be still and know that I am Lord. And when the God says something, it's the end of the matter. I don't even like footnotes in the Bible for the most part, because people realize on that. If you have a footnote Bible, go read Acts 2:38 and tell me what it says, and you'll probably know what I'm talking about, because they talk you away from that.
They do.
And then every footnote is a man's opinion. That's my take on it, and maybe I overreact or something, but I just don't think that God's word needs much help, is what I'm trying to say, because anything a man gets involved, it's a step away, and there's good men and there's bad men, you know, just like in that map, too, that if you understand scripture at all, that's, if you remember the division when they revolted against Solomon's son, Judah and Benjamin went one way, and the other 10 tribes went the other way. Well, when America was established in 1776, that brought them two back together, and we're one again, as I see it.
Yes, I think it did. I remember hearing the pastor preach on a message one time of that. That was one of the. One of the reasons that the war between the states did not split this union, this nation, was because, you know, that was one of the prophecies. God said, I'm going to bring them back together and they won't be split again. And, coming right from the South, it was like I'd never heard that before. But the more I've thought of it, the more it fits. And
if you look into this Civil War, too, Rothschild, the international banker, financed the South because they wanted to divide this thing, and it didn't happen, you know, and all the bitterness that came out of it. But the hand of God kept this union together for a reason, and it's not going anywhere. We moved for our last time, I believe.
That's right.
You know, you realize they nearby about the Eastern Sea and the Western Sea. It just don't fit that Israel over there. It's just, we are it.
Amen. Amen. It is that, and what a time for it, Remnant, and we are seeing, like Paul, like you mentioned, Brother Marlin having a group together, and I know Zach has done that in the past, and many, many across the nation and across this country are doing that very thing, that are sharing, planting those seeds, that, you know, the true biblical plan of salvation and the truths of who we are. When you realize, when we realize who we are, what a difference that makes. What a difference that makes. You know, that these, this word, these 66 books that they apply to us, it's night and day. It really is. Well, guys, we're out of time. Paul, thank you so much, sir.
Well, I'd like to
go ahead.
I want to make one more point. You know, if you're infantile in this whole situation, God, you're made in the image of God. I'm a child of God. Just realize who you are, and then that will change your whole life.
Amen. Great closing. Thank you, brother.
Welcome.
God bless.
Rolling, 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 stay calm.
This country stolen, keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and pray together, make them hell send forever, knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Head 'em off, head 'em off, move 'em out, head 'em off, snake high.
Ride 'em out, ride 'em more, ride 'em more, round 'em out, ride 'em out, ride 'em more,
snake high.
Ha!
Ha!
Keep moving, 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 though they're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting at the end of all.